I can remember when I think I finally turned the corner in my faith. In a lot of ways, it was sort of like this gospel, or sort of the inverse of it, I suppose. I just couldn't deny the invitation anymore. I think I had realized that I was doing that, that I knew my faith well enough. I'd been raised in the faith, and sort of the offer was there, and it was on the table. But I was repeatedly accepting sort of other invitations, you know, prioritizing, you know, my life as an athlete above, you know, going to Mass on a Sunday because I had a late game or a practice or something like that when I was a young man, or prioritizing, oh, I don't know, you know, just think about all the things that distract you, that sometimes that you feel like you would rather do. I was just letting those things get in the way of my life, and it's one of priority that Jesus talks about. And I simply couldn't do it anymore. You know, I just couldn't keep turning my back on the Lord. And he continued to show me so many things, so much of his love and grace and mercy. And I think sometimes some of our most difficult moments are the times we're really tried by fire the most. And when I moved here to Portland, I didn't really know anybody. You know, I was alone. But I think that's exactly what the Lord needed. You know, he needed me to be isolated from the friends that I had known and from a lot of the situation that I'd known, so I would finally listen, so that there was enough quiet in my life that I would actually listen. And, you know, all these different people in the gospel just give all kinds of variety of excuses, things that are in their life. They are priorities in their life, but what is the number one priority? It's to be here. It's to be at Mass. It's to be at the wedding banquet of the Lord. And we're reminded, we heard kind of the similar parable from Matthew not too long ago, but Luke is preaching to the Gentiles. And so it's no wonder that the way that this story unfolds is they go out into the streets and into the margins and to bring people in to fill that up, because there are other people. Remember, Matthew is primarily preaching to a Jewish audience. And again, the Jewish people reject the invitation. But then Luke is preaching to the Gentiles, many who would accept it, who realize, like, you know, this is number one priority. And they're able to kind of rearrange things in their life. And, you know, really, it's never too late to do that until we breathe our last. You know, the Lord really gives us every opportunity. And today we celebrate St. Martin de Porres. And he was like a lay Dominican brother. And, you know, he's truly holy and gifted. He sort of had a great desire to be martyred as a missionary. But, you know, that wasn't what he was called to do. But all who knew him just said that he had such a virtuous way of living, and it was said that he had the gifts of bilocation, and even one of the accounts I read, it was aerial flight. And I just thought, I was like, wow, you know, it wasn't even levitation, it was aerial flight. And so I thought that was kind of, I was like, wow, that's pretty hardcore. And so I talked about this recently when I was speaking to the RCIA group this past Sunday about the saints. The thing that's so important, and since we just passed Halloween, I heard that Father Brent was fond of giving warnings about the Ouija board and other things like that. And so I was just like, and I totally agree with him. So I figured I'd jump on that on this time of year, because I've heard many disturbing things out there in the world recently about this. And even around our election, about witches actually posting hexes online that you would be able to say against President Trump, encouraging people that you don't even have to be a witch or into witchcraft to say these things. But anytime you participate in the demonic, you open a doorway into your own soul to the demonic. And that's the great danger there, And when I was talking, and I always like to use the example of the saints to highlight how important this really, really is. So the saints, unique charisms and gifts and powers are given to them that are manifest by God, usually because of their sanctity in some way, shape, or form. They don't call upon them with their own power to exercise them for their own gain. St. Joseph of Cupertino, many of his brethren witnessed him levitating in prayer. It was something that God made manifest through him. He didn't like say, I'd like to levitate now because I need to reach this thing off of that shelf or something like that. You know, he didn't call upon the power for his own gain at all. But the problem with things like the Ouija board, horoscopes, tarot cards, all of these things we would call divinization. And what is that? It's nothing short of original sin. Original sin sometimes people think of as disobedience. The real sin, though, is Adam and Eve are trying to grasp at the power and the knowledge that only God had. And that's what divinization is. It's trying to grasp at a power that only God has access to, but to use it for yourself. A lot of people might want to know, you think of something like a seance or something. Maybe they're sad. We just celebrated All Souls Day yesterday. Maybe they're sad because of the loss of a loved one or something like that. And so they use power from the evil spirit to try to gain knowledge of their loved one who had died. That's knowledge that's reserved for God, for God alone, and those that he grants that knowledge to by his own divine power. So there's only two ways this can go, brothers and sisters. It's either power from God through the Holy Spirit, or it's power through a spirit of evil, through Satan. So if you're not getting that information from God and the Holy Spirit, you are trying to access it through a spirit of evil. That is why it's so unbelievably dangerous. But great saints like St. Martin de Porres, to bilocate and to even fly, those things were manifest by God, not by him trying to have some sort of grasp of divine power. And so in these difficult and troubling times, again, we call upon an example of a great saint that entrusts himself to God and to the church. And we're reminded, like in this parable today, that we have to get our priorities in order. I realize it's going to be a difficult 48 hours, I have a feeling. Everybody's under this difficult tension, but when I don't really know what else to pray for, I simply pray, Lord, may your will be done. Like we pray in the Our Father every day here at Mass. In fact, I'll just finish with something my parents often do when they pray just before meals. When they're done and they make the sign of the cross, they just simply say, may the will of the Father, made known through the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, reign in me. God bless you all.